Parshas Nosai, we have the inyan, a lot of inyanim in Parshas Nosai. One of the very central inyanim is the combination of Nazirus and Soita. It says, Karaita says, Bukuli Avs Menayayin, and Nosai is a type of Kedusha which is a very unique type of Kedusha. Sometimes it interlaps with Nevuah, and Nevi'im are called Nazirim. So a Nazir has a certain maimed of Shivas and Kedusha. In the inyanim of a Nazir, there are two inyanim that are, there's the Yayin, the Issa Shtias Yayin, and that is Ligvul Chazal that speak about that Yayin is Mekalkal and it brings Vailabriya and so on, and therefore any type of refraining from Yayin brings Kedusha. That's one type of inyan that we understand. The inyan that's harder to understand a little bit is the inyan of the Cyrus. The halacha is that the Nazir has to grow a Cyrus. It's not only Megalech, it's also Betaglachas. Is that a positive simon? Is that a negative simon? What is it? Different Rishayim, different Chazals, steer the mashmos about it. Some places it's mashma, that it's a form, what is really the inyan of Naz is the taglachas afterwards, and that's a simon of achna, because taglachas is always a simon of achna. So some Rishonim put the dogish on the fact that it has the chiv taglachas afterwards. In other words, it's the maisa taglachas, that's the ikar point in the zeros. Other Rishonim seem to put the ikar on the beginning of it. It's hard to understand which one, you know, it's the specific inyan of the Cyrus over there. The what it does say in some of the Rishonim is that the Nazir himself, when he's growing, I mean, the halacha is his Cyrus HaKadosh. The halacha is that he's ta'un, it's ta'un straight for Tachsadur afterwards, and the mashmos is ki'ilu that the Cyrus themselves have a kedusha, that they're a davar chashuv, and growing it is machmas chashivusa. Like it says, some showing him that because of the fact that the nazir is so elevated and so chashuv, that's why you can grow Cyrus. So the mashmos is that Cyrus is something which is chashuv. On the other hand, the svarim are full, all svarim that deal with pnimius and yanim speak about how terrible Cyrus are. Cyrus are a klipa, they're a getter of a tumor. When you cut the Cyrus, you need to wash your hands. Like anything in the goof, which is moisus aguf, like the Cyrus, like the tziponayim, other inyanim, there's always some sort of ruach, some sort of klipa, and that's why the person needs to wash afterwards. So there's a certain element where tumor sticks to Cyrus. It says it in a lot of stuff. The Alshach HaKadosh says it's a luchura. On the one hand, Cyrus is a dover that is bad. It's tameh, it's a klipa. On the other hand, by a nazir, he's allowed to wear it. It's considered to be a crown, and he only has to take it off afterwards. It's because when he stops being a nazir, he's no longer roy to wear it. So which is it? Is a Cyrus a dover that is good or a dover that's bad? You find Le Marshall in two other areas also steerous about Cyrus. On the one hand, it says that a Kohen, an oval, is supposed to go with Prius Reish. It's a simon of bed, it's a simon of Bizoyan, because a Kohen is not a go Prius Reish. So an oval goes to Priyas Rosh Dafka, a Kohen is not allowed to go to Priyas Rosh. So definitely it's mashma that Rosh Perua, that uncut hair, is a sign of Bizoyan, of Be'er, whatever you want it, while no hair, well, or at least the haircut, is a good simon. So which one is it? What's more strange is in the Inyanim describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a lashon that is very strange in two places. First of all, in Shashirim, it says that the Klal Yisrael describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is special about the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It says, Madoidech midoidech yafa benoshim, Madoidech midoidech kochich batonim. Klal Yisrael is asked by Rumus Olam, what's so special about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're so dovuk? So they go through a physical description of a person, and each element over here, we have a way to describe it in a ruchnistic way. Shukav Amudei Sheish, the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he holds up the world, the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he does pe'ulois, like everything else, like when we speak about Ein Hashem, and Yad Hashem, and Dvar Hashem, they always relate to certain anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those are anhagas that we can relate to. But the Pasuk says, very much at the beginning, it says, Rosh Kesem Pas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hair kaviyoch, head kaviyochol, glistens like gold, and locks of hair kaviyachol are wave after wave as dark as a raven. So how do we transmit a lashon like that into lishaynis of how do we translate that? In other words, what does it mean in terms of pu'ula? Everything else, einayim, and is Ashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lechoyov is Dvar Hashem. Sif Soysov is also Dvar Hashem. Yodov is Maisak. All of them have very, very reasonable translations that we can translate Hanhogas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these inyanim. The thing that we don't understand is, what is the Kfut Soysov Tal Talam Shcheres Karev? What kind of inyan is that Klat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol? You find another pasuk like that in Daniel. It says that that he saw ki'ilu a demus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a chizoyen, and it says so different things. Again, you can take them Yad Hashem, Ein Hashem, Charoin Af. All these in Yanim have translations that are fairly simple. But it also says over there that on the Rosh Kaviyachol, the Cyrus. Kamanaki, like white, clean wool. In other words, there's a pin of Cyrus that are white and pure as wool. What does it mean in that translation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyach? What are Cyrus Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are Hanhog is Cyrus? What is it related to? Those are the hard ones. And the mixed understanding of whether or not it's good or it's bad. Is it a yoifi? Is it not a yoifi? On the one hand, the kohuna had to take it off. On the other hand, and avails have to grow it. On the other hand, the nazir seems a chura. That's the reason why he needs to have it. It's also called the teferis of the adam. The hair, the zokin, and the hair are called teferis of the person. And we need to understand a little bit about this inyan. Especially since Nazir is a mitzvah that's like everybody, Nazir is a mitzvah given to us, and we have an inyan to try to be oimin a little bit. Let's try. The Gemara says the Gemara speaks about Rabbi Akiva. So it says the Gemara says the famous Chazal where Rabbi Akiva was derish till Tosh Halachas. So Chazal starts with this pasuk. It says Kfutzoysov Taltalim Shcheres Kairev. He is going on Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva's hair, Rabbi Akiva was Derish, or called Kutze Vekutze Shal Yud, he was Derish, Tile Tilem Shal Lachis. On the Kvutzeis, on the edge, the Spitzen, he was Derish, Tile Tilem Shal Lachis. What is it, so Chazal are telling us where, what it is exactly find over there. What's very, very fascinating is the Gemara says that Ben Azai said Kol Chachmi Yisrael Kenegdi Kiklipas Hashum Chutz Min HaKareach Hazeh. The person Akiva was, Rabbi Akiva was called the Kareach Hazeh. So that means Rabbi Akiva himself either he was bald or whatever he was nicknamed bald, was Ke'ilu the, he's the one who's specifically shayach to the world of Kutzaisel Talpal and Chayas. It's a Dover Matmiya. Rabbi Akiva's, whatever his dagger was, is connected the fact that he's called a Kireach. And one has to understand, I mean, Ben Azai, Chazal weren't light with words. I mean, we wouldn't consider it very, very nice if somebody called somebody else the baldy. It's not a especially nice term. It's a halach probably us to call something like that. Ben Azai didn't say it about Akiva, and Chazal would not have quoted Ben Azai on such a disparaging remark. Just a mother remark. He's saying, and he was saying something that all Chachmi saw negi kiklipas Hashem chutz mekriyach hazeh. He's making a profound statement here. He's talking about the Chachma and Kaisov, and in that sense, he calls it by Kiva the Kareach. So let's try to understand a little bit about the Inyan. We find something remarkable about the goof of the person. Most of the Chalkei Ha'adam are bound up with his Chiyus. That means that if a person cuts a finger, it hurts, blood rushes to that place, then there's some sort of healing process, and the main fact is that it hurts means every single part of a person is intrinsically tied to his metzias. Even the furthest finger, the furthest toe in a person's body, if the person is only healthy and anything happens to it, the person's magish it instantly, because it's still part of his chias, and it's part of his dam, it's part of his akash, and so on. That is the vast majority of gufa adam. The two exceptions are the cyrus and the tziponayim, the hair and the nails. Those are two things that have no chias. They don't. You cut them, you don't feel it, there's no bleeding, there's no real healing process, and yet they're part of the Tzuras Adam. In other words, Tzuras Adam contains in itself something that is that has properties of the goof, but it's not quite the goof. Both of them have a sense of levush to it. The cyrus are like the tzemer of the sheep. The cyrus are a levush in one sense, and it says that the klipas that the first kostas are that he made, Adam had a shell around him like a fingernail. So al kapanim, both of these have a certain nekuda in mus Adam and kaimus Adam, and yet they're not quite the Adam atzmai. Let's separate Cyrus Haroish from the rest of the goof. And let's try to explain it just in the inyan of the Cyrus Haroish that are not part of the rest of the goof. A person's seichel, das, and everything chash about a person is in his head. The neshama says, Behila ner alei roishi, the neshama dwells above the head, kaviyachol. In other words, it's if we had to place a neshama someplace, we would place it atop of the head. So, but the head is the place that is the highest point on the person. There are inyanim that are noveya from seichel, yet are not organically connected to seichel. For instance, Let's take an example. I have a letter. I'm writing a book, a letter, something of substance. So whatever I write in it, if I waste words, I write too much. And I add a lot of things that could be cut out that I don't need. Let's say I have the letter as concise as can be. It expresses exactly what needs to be expressed in the most precise words. It's written like a Rambam is written, not an extra letter on it. Yet, let's say it's written very beautifully. It's written in a way that it expresses itself like the Rambam is written. It expresses itself in a way that there's another dimension that comes with it besides the information itself. So it's not dry printout, but it expresses itself very well. And I mean, the Gdolei, part of the Gdolei Katmonim that were very, very much, that we stand in awe from, like the Rambam, like Rashi, like Ramchal, is a combination of the shortness of the language, the preciseness of language, and yet there's a mantle of yoifi, unmistakable yoifi, that envelops those. Chazanish and his inyanim. There were certain inyanim that had that chshivas, that it was not extra information, but the information itself glistened with a certain yoifi. It was put down, they were crafted in a way that they expressed yoifi. Those are inyanim where it's not organically connected from it, to it, because somebody could make the argument you could write the same things in a very dry form and you have the same substantive information. So in a certain way you can take away that yoifi and still have the information. On the other hand, it's different than an embellishment that comes on top of it, because you feel the inyan itself leads you to a higher yoifi. When a person takes some sos yisharim, and it's not the pshat that it's a musa we're telling you to do X, Y, and Z, and you add stimulus and yoifi and certain expressions in order to help to paint on it. The words themselves seem to beg to be accepted because of the yoifi that's in it. That is one example. Let's take a second example. A person is a person has a letter that he wants should have double meaning. A person writes a play, a story, anything like that, where he has a meaning within a meaning. It's less than perfect if the first level of meaning doesn't stand well without the second level of meaning. If the story itself is awkward a little bit, or it's lame a little bit, but you say, but really I'm trying to get the message behind it, that's a chisar. A perfect or a very good story is something where the story stands on its own perfectly, and yet it opens up to a whole new metzias that need not, you don't need the second metzias to be part of the first metzias. That is a certain perfection in having a double meaning, in having something else riding on something else, a higher one riding on a lower one. That is a certain tsura of giving over. Those in Yanim that a person, Lamashal, has HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, and Torah in itself is Elikus, and Torah speaks about our world, and it speaks about the worlds that are beyond our world, and it speaks of worlds that are beyond that world. If the Torah itself was not 100% true on the first level, that's lacking. It's like writing a play that you could only, the play itself is exaggerates, it's parts of it are not believable, whatever it is, but I mainly wanted to give the meaning behind it. It's like somebody asks a very good, asks a lame kasha because he's eager to give a teretz. It does not, it's lacking, that's a chisaron. But where it stands perfectly in itself, within itself, and yet it opens up a whole new world, that's in a certain sense the metzias of Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, each level lives in its own self, and it also opens up to all the world. And both of them are perfect to in its own world without something else. That is Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that mashal. Let's go back to a person again. A person's siris, on the one hand, are not yearning from his chiyas. In other words, you can cut his siris out, and the person will live as long as when he has those siris. Siris are extra klapi the goof. And yet, when a person has siris that on top of the goof, they create a whole new sense of the person. The chesimah zaken of a person, the yoifi of the siris roish, the chesimah zaken of adulthood, the zikna that is expressed specifically in siris levonis, the shachrus that expresses a certain bachrus, all of those in yanim express a whole new dimension in the siris. So you have here a metzias where, on the one hand, the person's goof is shalom without the siris. Person doesn't need the siris, and the goof will function perfectly well without the siris. And yet, when you have siris, it expresses a whole new dimension about the person. His elementary level of chachma is in the nesmali zokna tachten. That's the elementary level of das. The seva and the zikna and the Vadat of Nezokin and the Teiseva Tokum and Ariani Kivet Shiv Shana are all expressed in Cyrus. So you have two levels of a person connected, but each one can be separated out the other one. Specifically, of all the activities where this is true in the world of Chachma. In Chachma, a person learns. There's Chachma understanding, and then there's a double meaning, and there's a triple meaning, and so on. The Giluyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are true on one level, and they're true on the second level, and on the third level. The Siris are understood as something that comes out of the body, is attached to the body, but can stand apart from the body. And what it adds to the body is not, the body can stand on its own, but this adds to it. So you have here a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's a profound gilui. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megala fits into one world. There's the Maisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Yad Hashem, and Etzba Elokim, and all those Maisei. There's Va'om Derag Rabbi Yamahu, all those different types of activity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Diber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a Koyel Hashem. We understand that to be part of the world. Chochmosa Yisbarach, that's Mizgal in the world, we also understand. But in the Koyma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala, there are Sires also, which means something that leads us to beyond the Giluyim of this world. That's the Bechina of Sires. And therefore, it's miramis to the chelik of Torah that's beyond Torah. That was what Rav Kiva was megala in the Taltalim, in the kvutzais that are Taltalim. That the person's kvutzais are that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has little threads that come out of the oisius, and in those threads there's a whole world. In those kfutzos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megala tilei tilei v'halachas. There was Rabbi Akiva's gadlus. So he was aiming on this nekuda of the Torah stands perfectly itself. If you don't put any tagin in the Torah, that it's kasha, it's not possible. But when you have tagin in the Torah, there's a whole world that's misgala in it. So just like the goof, you can move the siris, and it's not machzir. Just like the siris, they don't have any type of unique of blood vessels that we see from the body, or any type of nerves from the body. So the whole world of Torah that Rav Akiva was megala, those tilatil shalachis, are not really attached to the guf, and yet they're in the guf. That is the tefis of what it is. Now, let's go a step further and understand something about this. The property of these inyanim carries in itself a tremendous maila, and that's pashit. It helps you go beyond where you are, and it carries in itself a tremendous drawback, a tremendous chisaret. And let's think about it a second. A person's guf is very proportionate. His yadayim, his raglayim, his roish, that's part of the tzuras adam, that there's an extraordinary proportion. Chachmei u'masolim found a lot of extraordinary, a person's body fits a lot of extraordinary ratios that are considered to be perfect ratios in terms of aesthetics. That's guf adam. And the mela of a person, Rachman Hatzlan, has something out of proportion, is a balmum. Cyrus grow wild. If a person grows Cyrus wild, that's a simen of bet. That's perua reish. Perua means wild. It doesn't mean that the Cyrus didn't grow. It means they went wild. Because this is something that doesn't fit into the structure of the world, then by definition, it's very difficult to impose structure on it. So the muscle, the substance of the message, let's take our first muscle. When I write to you very precisely what I want to write to you, those I'm in control of to write exactly what I want to tell you. Point A, point B, not mention C, explain that D is not part of it, and so on and so forth. That's the way in which I can be shalit on those inyanim that are intrinsic to it. Better than that, since the highest point in a person's guf is chachma, so chachma is shalit completely on everything underneath it. It can be shalit. It doesn't have to be shalit, but it can be shalit. And therefore, everything underneath the mahalach of chachma, chachma has a grip on it, can have a grip on it, and it's under it. Anything that goes beyond that, above that, is wild. And things that are wild have a certain yoifi, but they also have a certain kiyur. The Ramchal says, when he writes in Derech Hashem, that he says, I'm not being mechadish anything that's safer, except that I'm organizing information. Because wild, the mind rebels against wild information, and it doesn't cope with it. It needs seder, which is an imposing of Mahalchis Seichel on it, to make it palatable to the person. Nobody wants to remember 1,000 odd facts, even if they're curious facts, even interesting. People who are Bali Seichel Das want to know a Mahalach, which explains 1,000 facts, unifies them, and structures them. That a person wants to study. But the book of 1,000 facts is by Das, it doesn't enjoy that type of book, because it's worthless. Just wild all over. So one thing about Cyrus is that it's lacking a shulton of chachma on it. That's one nekuda. There's a second problem with it. Anything that falls under structure, besides mahalchis seichel v'das, imposing a logical structure on it, rational structure on it, it also becomes subsumed to the kaimas adam. I have two hands, I need them to feed myself. I have two feet, I need them to go someplace. I have a mouth, I need it to talk. Anything that functions for a reason is part of the person's metzias. Something I don't need, that is the metzias of gaiva. The metzias of gaiva is having something just to show. So if I have a car that I need to go from place to place, that's not a mucker of gaiva. It's exactly what I need. I need a car, I need a motor, four wheels, and a box around it. The minute I put in extra, the extra is, it's not what I need. Any luxuries are called moisris, because what I need, it does not to be proud of. If I need bread and water to live on, I'm not proud of bread and water. But if I have, like it says by Rebbe and Teninus and Rebbein HaKadosh, that Lo Yorad Meshulchanam Kresi, not snoy, not chayrev, not kayetz. That's extra stuff, and that's what a person can quote off with. Not Rabbi Nakashova, but that's the mahalach of kavod, of gaiva, of nechpadus, is that which goes out of the tzuras Adam and does not find its place in it. So we have a mahalach that's above mahalchei seichel and the structure of this world and of Torah and so on, and it carries in itself two problems. It carries in itself the problem of a lack of a kfiyah of seichel on it, and secondly, the lack of in ruach adam. The person tends to gaiva. As far as the first one goes, that's the oimek of Chazal about Rebbe Akiva. Both in Yonim, we'll see in a second. Rebbe Akiva was Dairish Tile Tilim Shal Alochis Kvutseisav Taltalim. How Chazal pinpointed the Nakuda. He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochel, the Tzura of Torah of Gilui, has tremendous locks of hairs, extraordinarily organized and shaped. In other words, Rebbe Akiva did both. He was Derish from the Kvutzes of Torah. He was Derish Tile Tilim. Doesn't mean mounds in the sense lots. It means organized mounds of halacha. He was able to make Tile Tilim means bundles, like amorim, like mounds. He organized it. So two things. He was oimid on the havana of the kutzah shol yuds. He was oimid on the sar roishay, and was able to make out of it not just this is a gevaldike remes, this is a gevaldike matria, this is a gevaldike vart, this is a gevaldike this. It became tilei tilos halachas. It became organized mounds of halachas. That's the gadlus Rebbe Akiva. That's al talim. In the Inyan that we spoke about, the Kremis HaAdam, in the Inyan that we spoke about, where it affects Kremis because Rebbe Akiva did not embellish himself with any of that Chachma. In other words, in Sfarim, I mean, I think Shabur brings it down even, that wearing, that a person who has a large locks of hair, it's called ramos ruach. It's called a gaiva, derech gaiva. A trip is always seen as derech gaiva. Ramos ruach means high inflated ruach. Is a very specific definition of gaiva. Just like, for instance, the wind is something that's full of activity but has no substance to it. The person's nefesh is the sum total of the chiyus of his physical body. That's called the nefesh. The ruach is a deeper inyan, and it's a much deeper life force. And it contains in itself our avodah and so on. Where the ruach exceeds the body. When we say somebody, we even say colloquially, somebody just blowing off hot air. A person, when he's about gaiva, talks a lot. Gaiva is very much manifested in boasting. You spoil a lie, you talk about it. I mean, when a person does maisim, the gaiva is subtle. The person tries to get attention. But the real gaiva lies in his spiros. It's a mida, very much in divur. In other words, when the ruach is excessive to where the person is, when there's no real ruach to the person, when there's no real substance to what he's blowing about, that's gaiva. And therefore, that's called remos ruach. When a person grows long locks of hair, the pshat is, the only taklus fit is to show off. That's its metzias. So b'meila, it's a bria of remos ruach. Rebbe Akiva, whose mitzvah was derish til shalachis, he himself was a kareach. In the sense, it had no shaykhis to him whatsoever. He did not blow about it in any sense of it. The the inyan of Nozi is the inyan of the things in the Bria that breed Ramos Ruach, Yayin is one of them. Yayin, the Tev of Yayin is that the person's Ruach expands, the person boasts, the person talks about things he's going to do that have no shayach to Metzius. It brings the person to a certain dagger to Olam HaDinyan. That's the Metzius of Yayin. And therefore, if a person is in Olam of Dimyan, if the person, so his fantasy is beyond his Metzius. That's the world of Gas Ruach, Ramos Ruach. That's the world where you have the Begam in the Koch of Ruach. It's a big, a very expansive Harer, no substance to back it. Those are the inyanim that are bad in Ras Ruach. A nazir, by not drinking yayin, is shoiled on this koyach also. And therefore, as long as he has Cyrus there, then as long as he's a nazir, the Cyrus are a pe'er. Since he was able, and again, the Torah is umden das, to be shoiled on the koyach of dimyan, and the person doesn't see himself more than he is, that's where the person has the shlita on himself, and that's where Cyrus become kaddish and they don't become tumah or klipa or whatever it is. Let's take the inyan a little bit into a little bit understanding our inyanim. A person who's very functional, a person's whole metzias is, what do I have to do? How much do I have to do? What am I yetzei chavasei? And it's done with. That person tends to be dry. There's no mokum for gaiva there, because as long as the perception is I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then if a person is in a community where everybody davens three times a day, he doesn't boast of the fact that he davens three times a day. If a person in a community where people daven once a week, he boasts of the fact that he davens three times a day. There's no boast in that which is seen as be'etzim, what you're supposed to be. That is the, so a person who's like that, it does what he's supposed to do and has nothing pushing beyond, he's not lucky in gaiva, but he also is not going anyplace. I mean, his vision and tfisa in Yiddishkeit is restricted to what's there. And b'meila, just Bashehusham, and that's that. A person who deheres beyond what's there, and that's the Mahalchim of Yoifi, when a person deheres the Rambam, and then he deheres the Yoifi in his words, the inspiration comes from the Ruach in the words, and not the words themselves. Words themselves are instructions. Words themselves are an instruction sheet. What to paste next with what, and what to attach, and what to do here and what to do there. Those are things that have no ruach to them, and they are what they are. Zehu. The nyanim that inspire a person is the ruach associated with something. A person who has a nefesh that relates to the Cyrus, the Ispailus is roish kesem paz, the seichel and the chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like gold, but kfutseisov taltalim shcheres ka'iriv. On top of that Reish, there's such a beautiful expanse of something that goes beyond the Reish. There's a whole new world opening up above that. That is, on the one hand, the Maila Ruach. And that's what a person is supposed to have some Shaykhs did if he's to be a Ben Maila at all. But there's a second half to it. When a person learns to deal with things he doesn't understand, or with anhagis that are beyond him, if a person tries to take on anhagis that are not for him, or a person tries to talk or understand things that he doesn't understand, it's a lot of talk. When a person gets into the habit of saying things that sound very deep or beautiful, but there's not much teichen to it, so then the person is left with Cyrus for their own sake. And that's pararosh. That's something that's not darkei chachma. It's the pshat is it's outside darkei chachma and means it has no shaychus to chachma, and on a nefeshika level, it makes the person a hori, makes the person to bal gaiva, because that's the teva of it. When you learn to separate substance from appearance, that is where you enter the world of gaiva and so on. The Zoya says, akdama to this parsha, a very interesting akdama. He takes a pasuk and he dashes it. It says, ashrei nesui peshak sui chator, ve'ein berucha remia. Fortunate is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechapeh him, and he has no sheker in his nefesh whatsoever. So the Zohar asks a kasha. In the reish of the Kro mashma that he has averis, but he's nesui pesha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends himself and forgives. The safer the cross, ve'ein berucha remia mashma de mikor las teklam, that he doesn't have bechlal on the kud of remia. Ayitach. The Zohar speaks about it back and forth, and then the end is that basically, as far as remia goes, he can't have berucha remia bechlal, and then you can have a nesui peshak suchato, and somehow it's tied to the pasuk of soas reish bnei Yisrael. That's what he's coming to explain, what he's coming to give a psicha to. So Reb Tzadik speaks about this a lot, and basically, soas reish bnei Yisrael means, besides counting, it means to lift up klal Yisrael. Nesias reish is when you uplift somebody. And like we said, the mokum where the reish is nasei is the Cyrus. But those mahalchim work only when ein berucha remia. If the person's ruach is false, remia is to fool, to display falsely. The seus reish is only possible if the person's ruach is not false. If a person's ruach is false, meaning it expands beyond control, it expands beyond the person's metzias, then it's bad. So the Zohar says you can forgive averis and so on, provided one tchunas hanefesh is there, the ein berucha remia, because every type of tshuva deals with a person latching on to a higher nekuda, and that's only true to the person if and when the person himself is emes, is if his ruach is emes, that's when you have it. Basically the parsha, we're not dealing with somebody who's just pushed the ball gaiva. The parsha is pointing at people or a person that his metzias is he's an oiler, and aliyah means going past yourself in hanhagis, in havana, in sichlius. But the what distinguishes people who take on more than they are to people who become bigger people is if yesh berucha remia, ein berucha remia. If a person, and it was wanted on huggers, people often wondered in Olam HaYeshivas, the chinuch that we got was very much did not foster people taking on extraordinary on huggers. And doing things that were different than other people were very suspect. And somebody looks, so most people are treated because if you do too much, you're going to fail. And it's not going to work, and so on and so forth. If a person face has a tiny stibur all week long, and how he faces a lot of tanesim, or he learns more than his abilities, it's not going to last. He's going to get tired of it, and so on and so forth. That's a very practical reason for it. There's a deeper reason to it. A person doesn't grow by inflating himself. If a person lolenu, if people that are grow are healthy people. Sometimes you see people in a hospital that become big. And it's something very unhealthy because you realize it's just inflated weight. It's water or air or whatever it is. It's not person. And that's a very sickly look. When a person grows by inflating himself, that's Ramas Ruach. That's Rucha Remia. The Ruach that he has is false to himself. And therefore, the person has to keep taking bits, only those bits. The Ramchal says, v'le'amaretz chassid, the criteria for taking on hanhogas chassidus is understanding them. In other words, if your seichel reached a certain inyan, if a person learned a sugya, and he realizes there's a big makom l'hachmer, you know, people are not machmer, but I don't know, it bothers me. At some point, if it bothers him enough, he's machmer. That's his metzias. That became his metzias. In other words, it started as Cyrus, but Cyrus there was mischaber to the guf. A person realizes at a certain point that what he thinks are great accomplishments are kilakach metzarta. This is what I was given to do. This is not, I'm not doing, maybe I learned more than other people learn, but my kriches, my situation, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not doing, I don't have any maestres. I'm not doing luxurious things. I'm doing what I am. This is what I am. That's, those anhagas are anhagas tevis. That's called growing. Growing is called when a person perceives one step on top of the head, the Cyrus, one step past where he understands and is, there's another step, and the person keeps being this chabad to it, and until it is him. On the other hand, a person who pats on hanhagas, even if he doesn't mean it as gaiva, but it's a sort of a clumsy, childish way of doing it, then the person himself is training his rucha to be remia, and the things that he carries on him become a massive gaiva, and they become totally distended from sichlis. You ask a person sometimes, I don't understand something. What are you being machmin? Somebody was telling me something that he was machmin on. It didn't make any sense. I mean, are you holding it? Is that your whole picture? This is a Safek Deraisa. I understand the Chumrah. You're in a Metzias where Safek Deraisa. This is four steps removed from a Takanas Chachamim. So besides the fact that it's a very public type of hanhaga, are you there? So when a person's tzibur does it, so that's where he is. This is my tzibur. My tzibur wears a gatl, I wear a gatl. That's what a person has a chiv to do. That's what he's supposed to be. And it doesn't make a difference where I'm holding, not holding, but that's me. That's 100%. But on hug is that a pierce where a person is holding, if there's no tfis of seichel to it, and it's not part of the person's metzias, then it becomes a churban to the person. The parashah of Nazir is told us that as long as a person is in control of his wine, as long as a person's koach hadimin is reined in, then the person can wear a teferis of Cyrus. It says in Chazal that Gemara Sanhedrin that chutzpah is tagable malchasa. Chutzpah is a crown without a kingdom. In other words, a person who wears a crown and he has a kingdom underneath him, that crown is his metzias. I'm the melech. They're waiting. I have to tell them what to do. I have to worry for them. I have to. That crown is. If the person puts a crown on himself when he has nothing he's taking care of, that's chutzpah. Chutzpah is ruach without anything to back it up. So as long as the person has the kedushas nazirus, as long as the person doesn't indulge in wine in the full sense of the word, that his koyach hadimya is in check, then the sires that he grows are a crown of malchus. It's called a nazir's meloshin nazir because it's a crown, it says in the Rishayim. And that's when it's malchus. When the person becomes sinks again to Elam Adimyan, then that crown becomes chutzpisa. And that's when the sires become, they were Kaddish, but they need to go off and they become fuel for the Karban Shlomi. So becoming a Ben Aliyah requires two things. It requires seeing beyond where you are, looking up, seeing the Cyrus on top of the Rosh. Yes, these are the mitzvahs, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded, but it's going someplace. There's a whole world in the kvutzais. There's a whole world that's in those kvutzais that Rebbe Kiva opened up. But the way to assimilate that world is, first of all, taltalim, that the person bring it into Mahalchi Chachma, be mashlit a certain element of das and tfis in those avanis, and that the person himself be a kareach, that the person feel in his nefesh that this that I'm doing now at this point for me, this is atzmius. This is me myself. This is what I think is. This is where I'm holding that I need to do it. It's my chiyuv to do it. Whereas there's a lot of times, din ha'achi in with the doch. This is your din. The fnimah shosim becomes a din for certain people, and that's where that type of anhaga becomes the Rebbe Akiva, who's a kareach himself, who takes none of it becomes his own extras. For he's the person that was oimid on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anhaga of kutzoysa, taltala, and shcheres karim.